We're looking tonight at Nehemiah chapter 8, and I read verse 1 again. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man unto the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. We're looking at this chapter 8, continuing our studies in this book of Nehemiah, a wonderful book, and many lessons for us to learn as the people of God and the church of God, how we should conduct church, how we should organize ourselves, and things we should be aware of, because the church, as we saw last week, is under attack, and we should expect sometimes attack, but the Lord will intervene for us. Well, in this chapter, we see something very wonderful happening, where there is a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God. And my title for today reflects that. The Word desired, the Word explained, and the Word obeyed. Now, this chapter probably properly begins at in the seventh chapter in the last verse. And the final part of the verse. And when the seventh month came, the children of Israel were in their cities. So just to summarize very quickly, Nehemiah had come from Babylon, and he, together with the people, worked to rebuild the wall. That was his concern. That was his heartache. That was his desire to see Jerusalem protected from its enemies. And those walls that had been broken down, and the gates which had been broken down, may be repaired and restored. And then after 52 days, very quickly the wall had gone up in spite of the opposition that was felt. And then we read that here at the end of chapter 7, verse 73, the people returned actually to dwell in their cities. The work was done. But then in the seventh month, which is equivalent to our September, October, the children of Israel were in their cities, but they gathered together again. They came back again to Jerusalem, chapter 8 and verse 1. They all gathered themselves as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they asked for the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel, to be brought out and to be read to them, and for Ezra to explain the law to them. And they all gathered the men and the women, and together with children, those who were of understanding age, also came together upon this first day of the seventh month. They couldn't go into the temple. The temple court, the temple area was too small to hold such a large gathering. So they had to meet outside by the water gate. And it was here that they all come together as one man. The first day of the seventh month. Now, if you're familiar with the Jewish calendar, you know that the seventh month is a very important month for the Israelites. And there are a lot of feasts. It's the beginning of their new year. That's one thing. But here, the very first day of the month is the Feast of Trumpets. And then, on the 10th day of the month, is the Day of Atonement, the highlight of the year. And then, on the 15th day, is the Feast of Tabernacles. So there are all these feasts coming up in this one particular month for them. And they gathered, they come back from all their cities to Jerusalem, to attend these festivals. But it seems, dear friends, that there is something going on with the people. It's not that they're just coming back. It seems like they themselves, you see, have asked, we want the law, the book of the law, read to us and expounded to us. It was them. The initiative came from them. They desired it. And it's as if they're saying, the Lord has been so good to us. The Lord has brought us back from captivity. The Lord has kept his promise to us. The Lord has protected us from our enemies. And look how fast the wall has gone up. And they felt indebted, as it were, to the Lord. And it seems like there is some desire in them, not only just to hear the word, but to come back into a close walk with Him. Perhaps before they had walked somewhat slovenly and carelessly and indifferently to the Lord. But now seeing God's hand and the way that He has worked amongst them, there seems to be this one desire amongst them. We must return to the Lord. We must return to how things were before we went into captivity. We want to come back to this. And I think that is part of the reason, that is the desire, where their desire came from. And we see here they call for Ezra, the scribe, to read the book to them, to bring the book and read it to them. And this is actually the first time we come across Ezra in Nehemiah. Where's he been? We know that he was in Jerusalem 13 years ago. We know that the book of Ezra came before the book of Nehemiah. We know that Ezra led the second group of people out of Babylon and back to Jerusalem. We know that. And he was responsible for a lot of the reforms that had taken place all those 13 years ago. But then he disappears off the scene, and we don't know where he's gone. And there's little mention of him. Perhaps he went back to Persia, back to Babylon, and then returned. Maybe he returned with Nehemiah, maybe a little bit later, but now he reappears on the scene. And he's doing what he does best. As the priest and the scribe, he knows the law, he studied the law, and he is able to explain the law as well as to read it. And that's what the people ask him to do. So here we see a very opportune time for the people to renew their vows to God, to rededicate themselves to Him in the light of His goodness towards them. They had had this first-hand experience of His favor in the building of the wall, and now they want to rededicate themselves to Him. It should be the same for us. We also have known God's blessing in our lives. We also have known answers to prayer in our lives. Well, this should also lead us, friends, to respond to the Lord. Maybe we ourselves sometimes are walking a little bit carelessly, and not so strictly with the Lord. And every blessing that we receive should be also a call to us to rededicate ourselves, to walk in a closer way with Him, to be more pleasing in His sight, and to do what we can for Him. They had this earnest desire to hear God's law, and maybe they've missed it, because in captivity they never had this opportunity to publicly read the law together. Maybe many of them, those younger people especially, had never had such an experience, because they were born in Babylon. They grew up in that foreign land, and they were probably not permitted to keep up their feasts in that foreign land. But now here, they have this experience, and they are desirous, they're earnest to hear the word of God. Oh, friends, we must also ourselves be desirous to hear the word. We're thankful that we live in a country where we can freely meet and freely worship and freely hear the word of God preached. But we mustn't take these things for granted. We must continue to have a hunger and a thirst for the scriptures. Do I have an earnest desire to read the Bible, to hear good sermons, to learn what is the will of God for my life? It's all revealed here, friends. It's all revealed in the scripture. This is what we need to study and to understand. It's interesting, isn't it, that he asked for the book of the law. People today won't ask for the law. We're studying the Ten Commandments on the Lord's Day morning. Many even believers think we don't want to know about the Ten Commandments. Tell us only about grace. Tell us only about forgiveness. Don't tell us about commandments that we have to keep or laws that we have to keep. But we do. We have an obedient side to us, friends, as well as grace. But here, the people, so firstly, there's this, the word desired. And then we see the word explained. So Ezra brings the law before the congregation, and all the people are, end of verse 3, the ears of all the people are attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose. This is most likely a wooden pulpit, a tower that has been built quite high, so that all those thousands of people who are gathered can see at least Ezra and the people, and especially made a tower for this very purpose, for preaching. Alongside him are 13 other priests, 6 on one on his right hand and 7 on his left hand. And Ezra opened the book, verse 5, in the sight of all the people. Most likely, these other priests who were alongside, they also helped Ezra in the work of reading and explaining the scriptures. But in verse 5, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. Now, the book is not a book as we have today. In those olden times, they didn't have any books. They only had scrolls. So they would be open the scroll. But imagine, you can see the picture, isn't it? There he is, high, lifted up on this tower. The priests are next to him. And he opens the scroll very deliberately, friends, in the role, in the sight of everyone, so that everyone could see. This is the word of God. This is the book of the law. And that's what matters. This is where our authority comes from. This is God's word. This is what matters. This is what's central to the church. This is what's central to our Jewish life, they would be thinking. And it's the same for us as believers. We have the Bible, the pulpit, in the center of the church. We don't have an altar like the Roman Catholic has an altar. We have the pulpit. That's very deliberate. We have a pulpit Bible so that people can know that what the preacher is saying comes from the Word. And it's explained out of the Word. This is what matters. What does God say? And so the Word of God is central for... in this picture, we see that the Word of God is central. And that's what it should be for us in, as a church as well. Verse 6. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Well, as we read this chapter, maybe you've seen already, it's very much like a nonconformist worship service. There's everything going on that we do. There's the reading of the scriptures, there's pastoral prayer, there's worship, there's explanation of the scriptures, the preaching of the word. All these elements are in this chapter. Ezra here bless the Lord, the great God. This is how he begins. He blessed the Lord. He praises him, praises his attributes. No doubt he makes mention of God's great attributes, his faithfulness, his holiness, his kindness, his goodness, and so on. All these things are mentioned to a certain degree. I'm sure he praised God for the return of the Jews to their land. He must have blessed the Lord for keeping his promises, for his pity, for protection and help in restoring the gates. Surely these must have been elements that he mentioned in that public prayer to the Lord. And all the people answered, Amen and Amen. Well, friends, while Here we have an example of, in a sense, a pastoral prayer. I would just like to say, we are all kings and priests. In the New Testament times, every single believer is considered a king and a priest to God, just like Ezra. We do not distinguish between a person who leads the service and a person who's in the congregation. We are not, again, like the Catholics would say, the priest is higher than the congregation. He's on a different level. He's more holy than the congregation. No, we are all on the same level. We are all priests to God. And since we are all priests to God, well, we can all bless the Lord. And we should, as His people, every day, friends, bless God, just as Ezra did, to thank Him and praise Him, to make known His attributes. Every day in your quiet time, bless God. Every single day, don't omit this important part of your private worship. But in verse 7, we see that there are other people. There are these Levites who are also there to help the people to understand the law. And there are people listening to this other group of people. Now, there are two interpretations of this. One suggests that Ezra was reading the law in Hebrew, and then these other groups, well, they were translating into the Chaldee language, because it said many of them came from Babylon and they didn't know Hebrew. Hebrew had been lost. And so the words had to be translated into the Chaldee language. That's one explanation. And then they would also, verse 8, explain the meaning of the word. But there is also another thought, another meaning, which could be that Ezra had one, and these priests were on one station, and these others were on other stations. So you had basically a number of different preaching stations, and people would crowd around each preaching station to listen to their particular Levite or priest explain the law to them. And of course, there were thousands of people, and maybe that sounds a bit more plausible. I think otherwise Ezra would have had to have a very, very loud voice in a day when they didn't have any amplification of the voice. And that's more likely. But it's not. We're not exactly sure. But they read the law, and they helped the people to understand it. Verse 8, they read in the book of the law of God distinctly. That word distinctly means to separate, and it means to make clear. And it seems like they were very deliberate in their pronunciation of the words, and to make sure the words came across in a very clear way. And they expounded the law, not only read it, but helped the people to understand it. Sometimes we read the scriptures and, well, we don't understand it, and others can help us to understand it and to give us the meaning. And that's what is happening here. The Levites are helping to explain it to them. What is the meaning of these texts? And applying it to them. What is the duty that is required of them? And so this explanation is going on. And that, again, is so central to the church's need for today. Friends, what we need today, what the church needs today, is not more singing and dancing. It's not more razzmatazz in the church. It's not more miracles in the church even that we need. What we need is expounding of the Word of God, so that we know what the Scriptures are. The expounding of the Word, so we understand this is God's will. This is how God wants us to be. The more we understand the Scriptures, the better equipped we will be as believers, and the better we can also serve the Lord in the church. There's so much here to understand. And for all of us, there is still so many things we haven't grasped in the Bible. And so we need to understand it in a clearer way. So here's, if indeed there were all these preaching stations, it would be quite a sight, isn't it, to see this thing happening. I think sometimes if I'm in the people, you know, if they just stayed where they were, they didn't move from one station to another. They didn't say, "Oh, I wonder what's going on there. I wonder what he's saying," and want to go to that particular cell. Or people didn't say, "Oh, let's go to Ezra. Ezra's the best preacher. Everyone flock to Ezra." But everyone stayed very faithfully, it seems, under their own preaching station. Well, that's people sometimes flock to hear very good preachers. And that's good. It's good to place yourself under the sound of a very good preacher. But sometimes smaller churches also need the support. And if the word of God has been preached there, and the Lord has placed us there, and we're local maybe, to that particular church, well, that's a good place to support, and a good place for us to attend, as long as the word of God is being preached, not moving from one place to another. But then the people's reaction, and I have to really move on quite quickly, the people feel very sorry when they hear the law, and they start weeping and crying and feel convicted by their sin. And Ezra and Nehemiah, who now comes in, have to tell them, "Don't cry. Today is a holy day." Verse 9, "Don't mourn and don't weep, for today, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." And he tells them then, "Go home and eat the fat and drink the sweet. Go home and have a good meal, and then send portions to those who were less well off than themselves." They were sorry, but there's a time, friends, here. We could say there's a time for weeping, and there's a time for rejoicing. Here, it was a holy day. It was not a day really set apart for mourning. That will come very soon. The 24th of the month, next chapter, you see there is a time for humbling and for confession on that day of humiliation. But not this day. This day was meant to be a happy day for them. And also teaches us as believers, there's a time to weep and there's a time for us to rejoice. I think the Lord's Day should be a happy day. I think while we come in and we are sorry for our sins, we are repentant, I believe that the best thing by the Lord's Day should be really that it gives us joy to worship the Lord, to give thanks to Him. That strengthens us, that helps us to be prepared for the week to come. It should be a day of rejoicing. Christ has risen from the dead. Christ has triumphed over all His enemies. Well, there is much for us to be glad about. We are reminded of heaven on the Lord's Day. And that's a happy thing, that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. We're going to heaven. We have so much there to remind us of the joys we have in Christ. And so he says to them, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And so it is for us. As we joy in the Lord, we find that we are strengthened spiritually for life. Sorrow, overmuch sorrow, well, that may have the opposite effect. It may hurt us, it may harm us. Excessive grief may unfit us for service. But joy is the joy of the Lord, we should say, is our strength. But then, just finally, the word obeyed. And in verse 13 to the very end, we see how they rediscovered the Feast of Tabernacles, that they had to stay during that feast in booths. In verse 13, "On the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. Even the Levites, the teachers, need further instruction. Even teachers and preachers, we don't know everything. We still need to learn from the Lord. That's the idea here. And then verse 14, they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. They had kept the Feast of Tabernacles before, but they hadn't kept this part of it. And so they rediscover it through their reading and through their study of the law. They had to make these temporary booths out of branches, as we read, and dwell in them for the duration of the feast. And when these Levites discovered this, they said, we've got to make this known. And so they publish it and proclaim it in all the cities. And the people responded with obedience. The people listened and obeyed what was said to them. They were willing to obey. Friends, when I read this, I was thinking this is quite similar to the Reformation. It will happen in the Reformation in the 16th century. Do you know that? Martin Luther, John Calvin, what happened at that time? Well, they read the scriptures, they studied the scriptures, and they made rediscoveries, not new discoveries. They rediscovered very important things. They rediscovered how a man or a woman can get right with God. Before, the Catholic Church was teaching them, oh, you must go to Mass, you must be a good person, you must pray to the saints, and then they will save you. But when they read the scriptures, these reformers, they discovered it's not so. It's by justification, it's by faith alone. The only way a person goes to heaven is by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they discovered this thing. They discovered what I've already mentioned, that we are all kings and priests. Not just the priest is on one level and the people on another. They discovered what true worship is. And many other things were rediscovered at that time. And they also published and proclaimed these things. And what a great change came about from that Reformation of the 16th century. Well, we mentioned it not so long ago on a Sunday morning when we were talking about worship. We mentioned about the regulative principle and how everything that we do in church, not only in worship, but also in terms of church growth, everything must come from the scriptures. We must be able to give chapter and verse for things that we do in the church. We do this and this and this in this particular way because it is written here. That's why we are doing it. If it's not written here, if it's not found in the book, then we shouldn't be doing it in the church. It should be left out. Look at it, friends, here. Three times it said this. It's emphasized. Verse 14, they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded. And then again, verse 15. They should publish and proclaim in the cities, go forth unto the mountain, fetch olive branches, etc. And at the end, as it is written. And then again, verse 18, at the end. And they kept the feast 7 days. On the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. That is, according unto the prescribed manner. According to what God has said. So that's why they did these things. That's why they went into booths to remind them, of course, of their journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. The point here that I would like to leave you with is it was something that God has commanded. This feast was kept with great gladness, with great joy, like never before. And it was a time of great rejoicing in God as they obeyed Him. The book of the law is central. Well, friends, in conclusion, we thank God that we ourselves, we are not left in the dark. In regards to our own personal walk with God, how should I walk with God? How can I walk in a pleasing way with God? It's here. It's in the book. How should we as a church conduct ourselves conduct our worship, do our outreach to win souls. It's here in the book. Everything is revealed in the pages of Scripture. It's for you and I to study the book, to read it, to study it, or make sure we read it at the very least, but even better, study it. Use helps, sermons which explain the word are the best sermons, not sermons which tickle you, not sermons which just make you laugh, not sermons which just make you feel happy and good and tell you wonderful things, but sermons which explain the word to you, that will help, or books that explain the Scriptures, so that the more you understand and discover of the mind of God, the will of God, the more it will be of help to us. And remember as well to obey what the Lord reveals to us. That's so vital. Well, may the Lord bless these few words to us this evening.